Good morning. Would you please pray with me? Lord, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for bringing us here to even have the opportunity to ever come before you. But Lord, we ask that you would speak to us in this service, in this message. That you would inspire us to truly follow you, to go where you would call us to go, and that you would lead us and move us to a place where we are prepared to do that. We thank you, Lord. Move me out of the way so that your word can be proclaimed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know lately... We've been having some longer passages, and so it just turned out that this passage today was a little bit shorter. But as I was reminded of a great philosopher, teacher, maybe you're familiar with him, Yoda, from Star Wars, you know, the little green guy. He says, size matters not. And so today's passage may be short, but it packs a real punch. And it speaks to us today, and it speaks to Christians of all time. One thing I do want to point out is that for those of you that don't know, Orem's has an active Facebook page now. And so, although it's not in your bulletin, I believe it's going to be on the screen. There's an address. Of course, you can just search on Facebook, like it. We're going to be sending messages out throughout the week of things that we're doing. I'm going to be putting things on there about Scripture and other things as well, just to kind of keep that aspect of our community open. We also have a Twitter handle now, and it's at OremsUMC. So you can check out either one of those and like those. But I bring those up not just to plug them, even though that is one thing that we did, but I bring them up because... this week, I think it was Thursday, I posted on Facebook about how striking it was to me, this call to follow Jesus as I was preparing the message that Jesus made to Simon, that he made to Andrew, that he made to James and John. And it was just so immediate. This call was immediate. It demanded a response, and Jesus expected a response when he asked them to follow him. And it's still intriguing to me. Because here's Jesus, who shortly before this passage had just been baptized by John, had been driven into the wilderness and tempted by Satan, comes back into Galilee. He's coming back into Galilee, preaching repentance. He's taking up, surpassing where John had gone. He's preaching repentance. He's preaching that the kingdom of God is here. And that these people, those people to whom he is preaching to, and all people, are to believe in the good news that he is preaching. And so then we see him walking along the shore of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee, and he comes to Simon and Andrew. And he sees them, and he sees them casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Because Jesus just thinks fishermen make great disciples, right? It's counterintuitive to a lot of people, but Jesus did. He thought, he knew that these two would be great disciples. And so Jesus says to them in verse 17, he says, follow me and I will make you fish for people. And they don't say, Andrew and Simon, they don't say, well, hold on, let me finish pulling in this net, or let me do this, or let me do that, like other stories in the gospel. I'm reminded of the man who says, well, let me go take care of my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, because Jesus demands an immediate response from us when he calls us. And so they followed him. It says in verse 18 that they immediately left their nets and followed him. Wow. They left immediately and went after him. They followed him. And I bet, and I was just thinking contextually, if I went to Kohl's, you know, down the street today after church, and I went up to the cashier and I said, follow me and I will make you a salesperson for Christ, they would probably look at me with their eyes crossed and not follow me out the door in that way. You know, they would stay. Exactly. As someone said, they might call security, and that might happen, but they wouldn't probably follow me, because Jesus has a different way with people. An encounter with Jesus changes us. And so just look at James and John later in this passage, the sons of Zebedee. So we get to them in verse 19, and it says, Jesus walked a little further along the shore, and he saw James and John in their boat mending their nets. And so what does Jesus do? He calls to them. They're in a boat. And they're with their father, too, and these other hired men. And Jesus, it says, immediately calls to them. We don't know exactly what he says, but we know that he calls them. And then what happens, right? Because later in verse 20, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, leave Zebedee, their father, there in the boat with the hired men and follow Jesus. And you can just imagine, were they far out? Did they swim to shore? I mean, there's so many things that we don't know, but they followed Jesus. They left it and followed him. And so Jesus definitely has a way with people. But it's the immediacy of the response that's required of these men that is astounding to me. There's like no time to think. They have to respond immediately to Jesus' call. And so I think we now may often think that we have all the time in the world. But see, we're on God's time. And we can see here that Jesus demands an immediate response from us. We aren't guaranteed the next minute, let alone the next day. So it begs the question that the sermon poses. Would you go? Would you? And here's the thing. Simon or Peter, as Jesus calls him later, he calls him Peter, and Andrew, James, and John, they all realize something when they encounter Jesus. It seems in that moment, they realize something that many of us forget. Or maybe it's just that we take it for granted. They realize that what Jesus is preaching is good news. And we throw that term around in church, good news, often. But we miss what it means. It means good news. It means a joyous news, a news that is different than bad. It isn't bad news. It isn't all right news or pretty good news. It's good news. There's a smile. It's good. And so the good news, the gospel, is that the reign of God has come now, today. And God is here, and God is going to God's will is going to be done. And that looks like this. It looks like justice. It looks like peace. It looks like mercy. It looks like love. And it also looks like this. I've read this passage numerous times, and I've read it numerous times before, but it took someone else to point this out to me in one of the commentaries I looked at. So, check this out. Peter and Andrew, where are they casting their nets? Where are they casting their nets out? It seems they're on the shore. It doesn't say anything. The text doesn't say anything about a boat for Peter and Andrew. It said something about a boat for James and John. But see, Peter and Andrew, they might not have the means, or maybe their boat's broken and they haven't fixed it yet, or something else. But they're casting from the shore. Not the most effective way to be a professional fisherman. But they're not in a boat. James and John, they have a boat with their father, and they even have hired servants, too. And they're fishing. So the kingdom of God uses those of lesser means, potentially like Peter and Andrew, fishing from the shore. And those of greater means, like James and John, who were in the boat with their father, and they had servants and everything there. The kingdom of God, it's about everybody. All are invited into Jesus' kingdom. There are no economic differences in the kingdom of God. All are equally loved by God in his kingdom and equally invited. And don't forget the other obvious part is that Jesus, his first disciples, they were fishermen. He didn't go to the kings of his time or the or the wealthy, or in our time, he probably wouldn't go to the celebrities or the movie stars or even the pro athletes. No, Jesus went to the poor. He went to the middle class. He went to people from Galilee, which were looked down upon by the rest of Judea and Israel. That alone speaks to the economics and the shape of the kingdom of God and what that looks like. And that is good news. And we can understand that because he invites all of us, rich and poor, hungry and fed, all of us. And so we need to first understand that, that this is good news. So would you go? Would you go with Jesus? But we can't stop there because once we realize that this is good news, then we have to realize that it isn't about us. We need to move out of the way. Out of the way of who we think we are or what we want or worse, what someone else expects us to be or want us to be. We need to let God be in control. And it is all about what God is calling you to do in the life that God has given you. For my class reading this week, I was reading about Martin Luther. You may be heard of him, Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. And he wrote the 95 Thesis, you know. He essentially was the guy who was credited with starting the whole Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. And anyway, it seems as I was reading about his life that he grew up in a rather religious home. But his father wanted him to study law and become a lawyer. So Martin went to law school, being cheered on by his father, but ultimately he felt like he wanted to serve God. And so the legend has it that one day he was shaken by a traumatic event that almost killed him, which caused him to fear standing before God in judgment upon his own death. And so he decided to drop out of law school and become a monk, which led to becoming a priest, which led to becoming the leader of the Reformation and all of that. And so the rest is history, but if he would have continued with the legal profession, who knows who would have started the Reformation. But because Luther listened to God instead of other voices calling him to do what they wanted him to do, he will go down in history as the reformer that he was. And that isn't even that important. What's most important is that he went when God called him to go. You see, we can't be afraid to step out, to trust God. In fact, God has called each of us to do something specific. Pastors, priests, nuns, all of those religious people, they aren't the only ones called, contrary to popular opinion. I know many of you know that, but we're each called. Each one of us is called to God's kingdom, to serve God's kingdom. We're called to be a disciple of Christ first, a follower of Christ, and then to do what God has called us to do. But we get in the way. We can't take our minds off of ourselves or other people's expectations for us. We have to do this or that because of me or because of my vision or because of some other's vision or the expectation for me. Side note, when I was going to say something else, but when I was looking into the ministry, I talked about leaving my job to various people in my life, and they all thought I was crazy. And the funny thing is, I thought I was crazy too, but I knew what God had put on my heart, and so I had to do it, even if it did seem crazy, and even if it did. But there were all these expectations for me to do this or to do that. But at that point, I had to go where I felt God was calling me. And so many times I hear about how we try to please others. We try to do what they expect us to do. And there should only be one that we're trying to please. And that's God. We have to honor our parents. We have to honor our parents and our family and our grandparents. But when we're adults, we have to please God first and foremost. We have to make a choice not to focus on our own goals or the expectations of others for us, but to focus on Christ's call for our lives. Because again, Christ calls each of us to do something. And we need to remember that we have very little beyond that call of Christ to trust in. We can't rely on ourselves, but only on that call from God, the one true God who delivers his people time after time. And if you want examples of that, see the Exodus story, see the Babylonian exile, and see Christ on the cross, and of course, see the resurrected Christ, who was raised from the dead, so that all who believe in him can have eternal life too. And so our call from God is very real. But would you go? Because following Christ means to stop following all of the other things in our lives that would call us to go in a different direction than he would have us to go. And so the response to his call, just like we saw in the text today, is one that needs to be greatly considered, but immediately responded to. Peter, Andrew, James, John, they had to consider Christ's call for their lives immediately. They had to consider giving up their whole lives to follow this, what appeared to many, this rebel rabbi, Jesus. They had to consider the potential cost of losing their family, losing their jobs, losing their friends, and all of those comfortable things in their lives. To go with a man that says to his friends and his family and that his friends and his family are those who do the will of God. This man, Jesus, also said that foxes have dens and birds have nests, but that he himself has no place to lay his head. And see, they, like us, they had to count the cost of discipleship, of following Jesus. But even they knew when they first followed him that there would be some cost to going where Jesus would call them to go. They didn't know how much that cost would be. But they knew, because there is always a cost. We will always have to give some things up in order to truly repent. And we will have to turn towards God. But in looking at the cost, we can't forget the benefit. We can't forget that this is good news. That Jesus came for each and every one of us to offer us life, not just eternal life when we die, but life here now in this community. It's life-changing news for today. And so we know we're called. We know that Jesus expects us to respond. And we know that God can use and will use anyone, including you and a sinner like me, to go where God calls us to go and to serve. And of course, Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, that if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses the mouth, and so is saved. And so make no mistake about it. We are saved by God's grace through our faith in Christ and his resurrection. But in order to truly show our faith, we must be willing to go and to follow him through that good news and the faith that we proclaim. And so again, often that means going to places where we dare would not go alone before knowing him. Because we're never alone once we know him. He is always with us. And Christ has a way of affecting people. And for an example of that, you just look at Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the billions of Christians that have walked on this earth throughout all of the ages. And so I will ask you again, and I want you to think about it as we pray shortly, as we confess together corporately, and as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, would you go? You can say, will I go? Amen. Now please rise.